But my own kinalak should not be able to learn Torah. This I can't take. And for the first time, Reb Aaron decided he's going to ask for help. He never wanted to ask anybody for help. He knows that all help comes from Hashem. And he used to ask Hashem to help. And for whatever reason, that he was poor, didn't have enough money for certain things, he accepted this as a nisayon, a test from Hashem. And he never wanted to ask a person for help. But this broke him, that his kinalach could not learn, and he decided that morning he's going to go to the shul, and he's going to ask the chassidim, the yidin in the shul, his friends, to help. And that morning, after davening, after he was done with his tefillos, he turned around to everybody and he started to speak. And his friend said, "Look, Reb Aaron is speaking. He never speaks. Now he's speaking. We better listen." And he says, "My kinalach are not allowed to go into the cheder. They're not allowed to learn unless they pay something. I would like to ask your help somehow, that you should be able to help my kinalach to learn Torah. Your own children are there learning in the cheder. And I would like my kinalach to be with yours together to learn Torah. So please, if you could help." And right away, they started to remember how the Magid said Reb Aaron was an Ish Kadosh. He's an Einikol from the Baal Shem Tov. He lives in a Chorben. He's so poor, and he's such a great person. And kinalach, when they remembered about Reb Aaron, and they saw the trouble that he was in with his kinalach, they decided they're going to run home. They're going to get together money. They'll bring it to Reb Aaron. They'll help him out. And they all ran home as fast as they can go. They all ran home to get money. And Reb Aaron was left alone in the shul. He thought he was alone anyway. And as soon as the shul was empty, all of a sudden he realized, "Oi, what did I do? What did I do? I asked people to help me. I've never done that before. Oi, I should only ask Hashem to help me. Why did I ask people to help me? What did I do? Don't I believe enough in Hashem that I should ask only Hashem to help? I have to go to ask people for money?" And Reb Aaron went over to the Aron HaKodesh. He started to cry from the depths of his heart. And he started to daven to Hashem. As we know, davening is not just three times a day, Shemoneh Esrei, or what's said in the Siddur. If you have a special reason to talk to Hashem, you can talk to Hashem and you can tell Hashem what's wrong. And that is actually the mitzvah of davening. That's the biggest mitzvah of davening. When you really need Hashem for something, you tell Hashem what's going on, what you need, and what's wrong. And it doesn't have to necessarily be in a tefillah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be only in a certain language. And Reb Aaron was davening to Hashem, "Please Hashem, I did a terrible mistake. Please make everyone forget it completely, what I said. They shouldn't remember what I said. I don't need their help. I'll only ask Hashem for His help. I don't want help from people. Some way Hashem will help in a different way. My kinalach should be able to learn Torah." And he was crying. And he did not know that on the other side of the stove, because in the shul was a big, like an oven, a stove, and that used to be the heater. They used to put wood in there and burn it in the cold winter months, and that would make the shul warm. On the other side of the stove was an old man, and he was sitting in the shul. Reb Aaron did not even see him there. And the old man was listening to everything that was going on in the shul. He had heard how Reb Aaron had asked the chassidim for the help. And now he's listening to how Reb Aaron is davening to Hashem, they should forget about it. He heard both things. When Reb Aaron was done davening, He left the shul and he went home. A few minutes later, the old man saw and heard a very, very surprising, interesting thing that happened in the shul. Reb Chaim came into the shul, one of the Yidden that davened in the shul. He comes in. At the same time, Reb Shmuel comes into the shul also. Both of them are running. Reb Chaim says to Reb Shmuel, "Where were you? Where'd you go? How come you're not learning in the shul like usual?" And Reb Shmuel says back to Reb Chaim, "Well, where were you? You came also from the outside. Where did you go? How come you're not sitting here learning?" And he says, "A very strange thing. I don't know. You know, I ran home. I ran home to my wife. She's in the house. I come running in. And she says, 'What are you doing home? And you're running and you're all excited. What did you come for? Usually sit in learning in shul.'" He says, I came to get something. I came to get something at the house. I have to bring something back to the shul." And his wife says, "So what do you need?" He says, "You know, I forgot. I don't know. I know I have to get something, but I forgot what it is." And his wife says, "That's very funny. You run home out of the shul, you come home and you need something and you're running and you're all excited and you forget what you need." He says, "Yeah, I tell you, I don't even know why I came home. I think I'm going to go back to shul." And so Reb Chaim says to Reb Shmuel, "I told you what happened to me. So Reb Shmuel, what happened to you? Where are you coming from?" Reb Shmuel says, "You're also not going to believe this. I also ran home. My wife wasn't home. My kids were home. And I came in to get something and we all started looking for it. We all started looking for it, but my kids said, 'Tati, we'll help you look for it. What do you need?' And I started looking around the house. I said, 'I'll find it. I'll find it. I'm looking for it. I have to take it to shul. I'll find it.' 'Well, what are you looking for, Ta? We'll help you find it.' And I was scratching my head. I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking for. It's not Bedikas Chametz. I'm not looking for Chametz. What am I looking for? What are we looking for? I don't know." And you know what? Everybody who came back to the shul had the same maisa. They came running into the house excited. Their families saw that they need something. They came back for something and everybody forgot what it was. And they sat down to learn and they forgot about it completely. They forgot about Reb Arayin. They forgot about everything. There's only one person that did not forget: the old man that was sitting by the stove. He saw the whole thing happen. He realized that this Reb Arayin is a very, very great tzaddik. If his tefillos can be so powerful to make everybody forget right away, just like he davened to Hashem. And he did remember the whole maisa. Exactly what he's going to do about it, he didn't know. Because every morning in the shul, he saw Reb Arayin come in, nobody paid attention to him, and that was it. Until a few weeks later, this is what happened. The old man happened to be traveling to the next town called Titiv. A few miles away from Constantine was the town of Titiv. As soon as he came into that town, he saw people in the street crying. Women were crying. Children were crying, men were crying. Everybody seemed to be very upset. And the Yid goes over to the men. He says, "I come into a town in the middle of a week and I see people crying. What happened?" And the men said, "It's a terrible thing in this town. Just a few days ago started happening a terrible thing and nobody knows what to do. Children, babies, the littlest of the kinilach, they started getting very sick. A sickness we've never seen before. The doctor of Titiv went to visit all the children. He could not figure out what medicine to give because he didn't know what the sickness is. He called other doctors from different towns. They went to visit the sick Kinalach. By that time, more Kinalach were getting sick. And the ones that were getting sick, the first, were getting even sicker. And the doctor says it's a dangerous, dangerous sickness, but they've never seen it before. And that's why everyone is crying, because either in their own family or their neighbor's families, the children are in great danger of their lives from the sickness. And now we're doing tshuva, and we're asking Hashem to help. We don't know what to do. And right away, the old man said, it's good you're doing tshuva, it's good you're doing everything, but I think I know what you can do. And I think I know what you can do right away to help all the sick children of this town. Oy, are you a tzaddik? Can you give us a bracha? No, I'm just an old man, but I happen to know something that is going to be able to help everybody. Let's make a meeting at the shul. Oh, they called a big emergency meeting at the shul. And everyone came. And the old man got up in front of all the people of Tittiv and he said, just a few miles from here, very close to this town, in the forest, is living a poor family. Their children are starving. Their bodies are starving and their neshamas are starving. They don't have enough even food to eat, enough things, enough clothes in their house. They just had a little baby. They didn't have anything in their house. And now the Kinalach are not even allowed to go into the yeshiva to learn Torah. Now, I'm sure if the people of this town will decide to help the children from this poor family, Hashem is going to send His bracha to help your children. Help the children of this poor family in any way possible. And I know that Hashem is going to help your children to have a refuah shleima and to be gesund and to be healthy. And right away, all the people of the town, they said, sure, we'll run, we'll give them money, we'll give them anything. But the old man said, not so fast. This certain person, his name is Reb Arain, he's not going to accept help so fast. And he's not going to take anything so fast. Let's try a different way, that we shouldn't just right away give him things. Let's invite him to come to this town for Shabbos. I happen to know he's a great tzaddik. When a great tzaddik comes to a place, especially he'll be here for Shabbos, that in itself is going to be a bracha. And the people of Tittiv said, we'll pay him. You know, you bring a person to a town to be there for Shabbos, and he should be able to give over a drasha in the shul. They used to pay such a person. We'll even pay him money to come to our town for Shabbos. That's a good idea. We'll have him come here. He'll give us a bracha. If he's a tzaddik. And so the old man said, pick a few people from this town and they'll come with me. We'll go to the town of Constantine. We'll go to the shul where Reb Arain learns and davens and ask him to come to this town for Shabbos. You could offer him money. I don't know if he's going to take it. The people traveled now from Tittiv to Constantine. They went to the shul. Reb Aaron was sitting there learning. And now they went to him, they begged him, please come to our town for Shabbos. We would like you to come to our town, to come to our shul. You'll say Divrei Torah to us, and you'll bring a bracha to our town. Please come, we'll pay you. Reb Aaron says, what? Me? Who am I? I should go to your town? What for? And they said, our children are very sick. We need a special person to come to our town. We need a bracha in our town. If you say Torah there, if you come there, it's going to be a bracha for our town. Reb Aaron says, but go find a tzaddik. Go find somebody special. I'm just a regular person. I can't do anything to help your children. I'm sorry they're sick. But you should go find a tzaddik. They said, but you're a tzaddik. Me? I'm not a tzaddik. What are you talking about? I'm just a regular person. That's all. And they begged him. He wouldn't do it. They say, you know what? Maybe you want more money. We'll pay you 100 rubles. That was a lot of money. The Baron says, I don't need the money. We'll pay you 200 rubles. We'll pay you 300 rubles. That was so much money. He would not hear of it. Finally, Kinalach, when the people from Titiv saw that he wasn't coming, they left to go home, and they were very sad. The Chassidim, the Yidden that were in the shul of Rabbi Aharon, his friends, when they heard what was going on, they again remembered what the Maggid had said, and they again remembered how Rabbi Aharon was so poor, and they went to Rabbi Aharon. They said, look, here's a chance that, number one, you should be able to help somebody else. You should go help them. After all, the Maggid said you're a Halakha person, you're an Ish Kadosh, and your own family needs the money, and it's coming b'derech kavod, so why don't you go? He says, no, I'm not a tzaddik, I'm nothing, leave me alone. And one of the Eltra Hasidim, one of the old, old Yidden, who was still from the time of the Baal Shem Tov, and he knew Reb Aharon from the time that he was a baby, and he was now a Chassid of the Maggid of Mezrich, he went to Reb Aharon and said, how can you be so cruel to your own family that your own family needs and you're not giving for them, and here's your chance? And what about the babies from the town of Titiv? You have a chance to go help them. How can you not go and help another Yid? What kind of a Yid are you if you're not going to help another Yid? And Reb Aharon was quiet. And he said, okay, I'll go just as long as I don't even have to get out of the wagon. And as soon as we get there, the wagon turns around and the horses are pointed back to come to Constantine, and I can come back right away. As long as I don't even have to stay for Shabbos, I'll just go. They ask me to come, I'll go. But I'm not going to stay for Shabbos. Okay. That's what they did. Reb Aharon got into the wagon. They traveled to Constantine. I'm sorry. Reb Aharon got into the wagon. They traveled to Titiv. As soon as the wagon got to Titiv, every baby and every child all of a sudden got a refuah shlema. The sickness went away. There was not one little drop of sickness left in any baby. And the mommies and the tatis came out of their house. They were so excited. And they saw the wagon with Reb Aharon there, and they were so excited. And the people that had come to Constantine, they said, there's the Yid that we're trying to get to come. That's Reb Aharon. He came and our babies got a refuah shlema. And everybody went out in the street. They were singing and dancing. They were so happy. They were making hakafas around Reb Aharon's wagon, singing and dancing. And they said, please spend Shabbos with us. Please, please spend Shabbos with us. And he did not want to spend Shabbos there. Please come, we'll make a big simcha. We have to celebrate that we had such a big miracle, a big nes, and it came through you. He says, it's got nothing to do with me. I came here, but it's got nothing to do with you. Kinalach getting a refuah shlema. Hashem sent him a refuah shlema. I happened to come, so I came at the same time. Has nothing to do with me. What do you want me here for? And they were begging him to stay. They're asking him to stay. They're making a gansa maise. All of a sudden, he started to go away from the crowd. They thought maybe he has to go face to the Beis Akiza or something. They didn't run after him. But really what he was doing was running away. He was running away from them. He just wanted to go home. He didn't want anybody to make a big mice, a big tzimis about out of him. And they went to get him, to bring him back, and he would not hear it. And he went home. And they were so sad. They were happy their kinalach had a refuah shlema, but they wanted in some way to thank Reb Aharon, to celebrate with him. Now, by this time, the people of Titiv had all found out how Reb Aharon was such a halakha tzaddik
And they also found out he would daven that everybody should forget about him and nobody should care about him. And they saw that he did not want any kind of payment, any kind of covet. But of course they wanted to somehow thank him. They wanted to be with him, to celebrate together with him. They decided if he's not going to be by them for Shabbos, they'll go to him for Shabbos. They'll go to Constantine, to his shul, for Shabbos. Every family took their wagon. They loaded up Shabbos food and Shabbos clothes. And all the families of Titiv traveled now to Constantine for Shabbos. They found places to stay. And on Shabbos, on Friday night, when you came into the shul, instead of just the regular crowd being there, it was packed from beginning to end, full with people, with men, with the ladies and the kiddies came to the shul, and it was jam-packed. And everybody was there, and they wanted to be together, to be Mesameach together with Rabbi Aaron. And they planned, in fact, to have a big Suda all together with Reb Aaron. And he should sit at the head of the table. And in fact, the people of Titiv wanted to make Reb Aaron their new Rav. They needed a Rav for the town. They wanted to make him their Rav. And when he came into the shul, and everybody started singing and dancing, and they were so happy to see him, he wanted to run away. But this time they surrounded him and they wouldn't let him run away. And they said, look, we need a Rav. Part of being our Rav is that we'll give you a place to live. We'll give you a nice house. We'll give you food, clothes. Your kinalach will go to yeshiva. We'll take care of you because we want you to take care of us. We need somebody to teach us Torah, to take care of all the things in our town that the Rav needs to take care about. We don't have a Rav, we need a Rav. Please come. We need you, and I'm sure that we can help you. And it'll be good for both of us. Reb Aaron wanted to run away. They circled around him, he had no place to go. Except to the head of the table. That was the only place for him to go because they were surrounding him, except for the head of the table, when it was time for the Suda. And he said, it looks like this is from Hashem. I did nothing for this. I don't want this, but it looks like this is what Hashem wants. So I have to do what Hashem wants. And he sat down by the head of the table. And everybody else sat down by the table. The men and the kinalach and the women had their place, they had their tables. And a very, very special thing happened, that when Reb Aaron sat down by the head of the table and accepted to be the Rav, his face changed. Instead of being the regular face of Reb Aaron, it became so halik. Mamish, you just saw a halik at tzaddik sitting there. Before, he was a halik at tzaddik, but he didn't show it at all. Now his face showed the kedusha of a halik at tzaddik. And after that Shabbos, he and his family moved out of the Chorbin, and they moved to Titiv, and he became known as Reb Aaron Titiver, Reb Aaron of Titiv, and he became a great, great tzaddik, with many people that came to him. Now, Cain says to Hashem, is my Aveda too big for you to carry? What's the big deal? A person has two kinds of eyes. You have eyes in your head, and you have eyes in your mind. Your neshama has eyes. The eyes in your head will see a mountain is very big, a tree is very big, the sky is very big, the ocean is very big. And the eye of your neshama sees other things as very big. Putting money into a pushka is very big. A little penny is a very big thing if it goes into a pushka. To help somebody else, to do a favor, to share something, to help somebody, to say a good word, even a few good words. A few good words could be more than many, many books full of words. It's more because it's more of a mitzvah. It's bigger because it's connected with Hashem. Remember the river called Nahar Pras? Yeah. There were four rivers. And Nahar Pras is called a big river, and it was the smallest river. Why is it the biggest river if it's the smallest river? Because that's the river that's connected with Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is connected with Hashem. Anything connected with Hashem is great. And the biggest thing, if it's not connected with Hashem, is very small. It's nothing. Now Cain, who's only looking at the eyes of his body, he sees my brother is very small. A mountain is very big. The sky is very big. Even trees are bigger than my brother. What's the big deal? I killed my brother. You can't carry another package? Hashem, you're carrying so many packages already. You're a big Hashem. You can't carry one more? Now, if he looks through the eyes of the neshama, killing somebody, chas v'shalom, is one of the biggest avedas. Even if it's a small, small person, he's taking a life. Who created a life in a person? Hashem created a life. Hashem created the person. But as we see Cain, first of all, Cain believed Hashem did not see what he was doing it. That's why he did it. Hashem is far away. He's up in the sky somewhere, the other side of the moon. How can he see what I'm doing? Hashem is very far away. He can't see what I'm doing. Number one, Cain believed that Hashem is very far away. He looks way up in the Shemaim somewhere, but he doesn't see small things in the world. This is not the Yiddish way and the Torah way. The Torah way is, Hashem is so great, he could see up in the sky and even the tiniest thing down in the earth at the same time, and they're both the same to him. Big and small are both the same to him. Hashem can see millions of things going on at one time. He never gets mixed up. He sees everything like it's the only thing right in front of him. Even the tiniest thing. We can't understand that, of course. We can't understand Hashem. Hashem's ways are not our ways. The next thing, remember, when Hashem asked, where is Hevel, your brother? He said, look, Hashem doesn't know everything. Not only Hashem is far away, somewhere way far away, but he really doesn't know what's going on. He has to ask what's going on. Of course, we know Hashem was asking a question because even though he knew he wanted to get Cain to do tshuva, but this is what Cain thinks. And now Cain thinks that Hashem thinks the way he thinks. Is it so big what I did? It's small. Does Hashem think the way a person thinks, or Hashem thinks different than a person? We can't figure out Hashem. We try to understand Hashem, that's a mitzvah. Nasa v'nishma. We should try to understand Hashem. But